throw.
It would be nice to have a blow.
Throw.
It would be nice to have a blow.
Throw.
It would be nice to have a blow.
Throw.
It would be nice to have a blow.
Throw.
It would be nice to have a blow.
Throw.
It would be nice to have a blow.
Throw.
It would be nice to have a blow.
Throw.
From your mom.
I drank beer with my friends. Sometimes I had too many beers. I liked beer. I still like beer. Had beers, have some beers. One beer, drink beer, drinks beer, drank beer and drinking beer.
Upstairs, downstairs, where was it? I don't know, but I had one beer.
Friday!
We have beer center
each week. Ralph Club biggest contributor.
Beer.
Yeah, that.
I like beer. I don't know if you,
okay.
You like beer center or not. What do you like to drink?
Next week.
I had one beer.
Friday.
Yeehaw!
Hanging out and having some beers with friends, which I gladly do and which I fully embrace.
Well, do you think it was? Nope. There was one beer.
Friday.
You buy the Nebraska Craft Brewers.
Ooh,
Guild.
That was a cheeky little open.
I like it. Josh Peterson, Jimmy Allen, and Nick Grimm with you on this very sunny and progressively warm Friday afternoon. Let's see. It was when I took Mr. Banks out this morning.
Mr. Banks.
The feels like was in the low teens.
The dog, not the football player.
I had to put, yes, I did not take Jamal Banks out.
Don't want any recruiting violations.
To go up to the dog park. Had to put his little doggy coat on him. And now it is 41 degrees in Omaha. It'll be in the 50s tomorrow, the 60s on Sunday, and the 70s on Monday. It is close to springtime in Omaha, and that means... Well, lots of things, but for us today, it means we are drinking delicious beer.
There's not a flake of snow left on the ground.
Opportunities to tickle chains.
More opportunities to tickle chains.
Also, side note.
I'll be out running.
Is there a better feeling than cracking with the boys? Cracking one open with the boys?
Cracking with the boys.
Cracking with the boys.
Just a little bit of crack with the boys. Just a good crack.
All right, Nick, let's settle down now.
Of the can when you open it.
Thank you to Lucky Bucket. For hooking us up today, and the fine folks at the Nebraska Craft Brewers Guild, as always, for sponsoring this segment. We have a bevy of brews. You know, we...
A bevy of bevs.
Yeah, as we have gotten more new coworkers, some of them love coming in and snagging some of that beer that we have, which is good because we are often...
We are of beer.
Yeah,
right,
we are
now
given generous amounts of it, and the most that we have gotten in a while was from Lucky Bucket. They gave us a six-pack of their lager, and then a couple IPAs, a couple of wheat beers, and a couple of certified evils as well. Looks like Nick is going...
With the lager.
With the lager, the OG. Boy. I'm going with the, surprise, surprise, the IPA.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's a stunner. We're all stunned.
You're an IPA guy.
I'm enjoying
the
that.
The world would have never known.
I know. Nobody would have guessed this. But let us know what you're drinking with the hashtag OneBeerFriday, and you could win a gift certificate to Lucky Bucket Brewing, and you can go enjoy some of their delicious stuff as well. If you have missed any of the show today, it has been a real fun one. We had Kent Walgamott on about an hour ago.
Yeah.
And we talked about Everything Everywhere All at Once, last year's Academy Award winning film. That was a lovely conversation. We had John Walker on earlier, and we talked about the news with him, and Jimmy and I talked about it as well. Greg McDermott, he signed a contract extension officially announced earlier today by Creighton. He will be with them for the foreseeable future. Essentially, the way that it is being described is that he will retire with Creighton. And I think that that has been a bit up in the air at various points over the last few years. They wanted to put that to bed today, and so they do so. As we talked about earlier, my sources telling me that he will be making north of $4 million a season. Don't know exactly where that puts him, just because if you're a private school, you do not have to report. Again, the number that I have is coming from sources rather than just reported number or an announced number by the university, but we are guessing.
Just tell us it's Mac that told us.
He's texting me. No big deal. Yeah. Somewhere in the top 20. You mentioned earlier, maybe even top 15. So it just depends on what's going on with some of those other private schools, like a Duke, for example, is not going to have to report. But
and
there big news for the
and
Jays.
And incentives into the contract as well.
Bingo. So
the interesting discussion now becomes, how can you convince the Ryan Kalkbrenner, Stephen Ashworth, Trey Alexanders of the world to maybe come back next season? I think there's this foregone conclusion that Trey may already be gone. And I think as the season inches on, I think that conversation may quiet down a little bit more. And especially with Mac coming back, I mean, when Trey talked about this season, he said a lot of the reason was Mac being here. And when we interviewed him on the Roll Jays podcast, he brought that up a couple times. Now the fact that you know for sure he's going to be back next season, I may change that conversation with Trey Alexander a little bit.
That would be obviously a big get for them if they were to bring him back next year. And it's funny that you say that because it kind of leads into the topic du jour as we kick off the happy hour. And again, let us know what you are enjoying on this fine Friday afternoon, and you could win a gift card to Lucky Bucket. But that was this. How will we remember the basketball season from a local perspective? And I know that, you know, we've been doing so many of these big picture questions, and I've been guilty of it. So I acknowledge that up front, knowing that, I mean, it's March the 8th. There is one more regular season game for both Nebraska and Creighton, and then there are their conference tournaments. And, you know, Creighton will be playing Thursday evening at some point. They might be playing in the early game. They might be playing in the later game. Nebraska, I mean, certainly looks like they are very much on their way towards a double bye. And if they win against Michigan on Sunday, we're talking about a 3 seed in the Big Ten tournament. And then they're both going to be NCAA tournament teams as well. And so I ask this question knowing that a lot of the story is going to be told, and so I kind of want to put a pin in that because that will also change how we view what, you know, ultimately happens this year. But everything comes to an end. The regular season comes to an end. You know, last year Creighton started 6-0. They lost 6 straight, and they finished, you know, very strong. And in the end, the season, though, it's not judged on, well, they were 6-6 at one point in time. No, they're judged because they went in a positive light because they go to the Elite Eight for the first time ever, and they're a foul call away from perhaps the first ever trip to the Final Four. And so, again, that's a long windup to say, I know that the story is going to be rewritten multiple times over the next few weeks. But, you know, just the regular season component of it before we tackle maybe how things could change with postseason runs, how do you think that this season is going to be remembered for either of these schools?
I mean, I think it'll be defined by the players within it because the 2014 season, maybe for Nebraska, obviously more than Creighton, was kind of defined by the moment, like getting to the NCAA tournament.
February. That's what I always think of when I think of that year, February.
And obviously, Creighton's season was defined by Doug. But I think for Nebraska this season, when you talk about Casey Tominaga and you talk about Rink Mass and the players, Juwan Gary around this team, I think it'll be defined by those guys and the moments they provide you with Casey's 4-point play the other night, things like that. And maybe even if so for Creighton this year too, because I think Baylor Shireman's season will be remembered very fondly. Ryan Kalkbrenner's kind of culmination of his career if he chooses to walk away from this point. And then I think maybe even the most underrated story of Creighton's season all year has been the development of Stephen Ashworth. And how much he has changed and changed the outlook of this team.
Dude, I couldn't agree with you more because remember some of the conversations that we were having surrounding him, you know.
There were a lot of people
I'm trying to remember, like, so we had, it was the Pink Out game, and so that would have been, what, mid to late January. And we had Greg McDermott on the show that day from the Hope Lodge. And I remember asking him about Ashworth because that was fresh off of some better performances.
Yeah.
And asking him about that noise, and you know, he had a you know, funny snarky comment about, you know, I don't know what people were saying, but there was a lot of discourse that surrounded that guy, and it was not, you know, it was not the start to the season that obviously a whole lot of people were hoping for. And I mean,
and it was like, and I know I've said this a million times on air, but it's one of those things that it's just so outlandish for us to think that a guy was going to be able to come in, make the jump from the Mountain West to the Big East, and be able to translate accordingly, even if he is 24. Like, the coaches that come in here, like, I remember we were talking to Derek Kellogg about this, and he was just amazed with the ferocity and the speed and the rhythm that this offense plays with. And that's a guy that's been a head coach at two different stops. Like, you know what I mean? And this, yes, he is a 24-year-old player being Stephen Ashworth, But nobody has been able just to walk in here off the streets and pick things up and get rolling with it. Maybe Ryan Hawkins to some degree, but he even talked openly about how much he struggled.
He was a much different player in February than he was in November.
And I don't think just watching it from the outside, you can really appreciate how much Creighton drives their offense off of their defense and how much of a necessity it is, just because when you see it on a highlight reel, it is let it fly and you are shooting the lights out of it. But the things that happen on the other side of the court are so important for the way this offense needs to function, the way it's built, that if you don't have the concept of what you need to do on the defensive side of the ball, and self-admittedly by Steven Ashworth, he didn't. You're never going to have the effect. And everybody was like, well, bigger point guards are just running him off his spot. No, he was swimming mentally. And yeah, if you're trying to think while you're out there and you're getting pushed around the time, nobody, I don't care who they are, going to be successful at that point.
I love your answer to the question a couple minutes ago, I think is a really good one. You'll remember the players, because I think that whether it's this group of players now at Creighton that is, John and I had a fun discussion about it yesterday. This is not, him and I agreed, this is not a more memorable stretch of basketball than the one with Doug. At least I don't think it is, and John didn't think it is. But this is certainly the most accomplished stretch of basketball that this program has ever had.
Ever.
And the, you know, some of the key guys, the core guys, you know, the Shiremans, obviously, Kalkbrenner, etc.
Which is crazy, because even he had some struggles when he first came in here, too.
Exactly, and so they were a part of that. And then when you look at Nebraska, you know, again, I think it was Sipple who said it. No, you know, I talked to Dirk Chatelain within the last few weeks, and he was like, go look at the record that team had after, you know, Fred's first year, and then his second year, and then his third year. Go look at his cumulative record, whether it's conference games or just overall. And it is staggering that group was able to turn it around last year, where you could make a very sound argument that K-State saved his job. And then he seemed, remember when we thought, like, he's going to go pro, he's going to go overseas, whatever it was, he is going to leave. And he comes back, and in the end,
I don't know if I agree with the K-State saving his job thing. I mean,
no way, dude. You don't think so? Last year, given that if they have another way sub 500 season,
I don't. And here's why: because when you look at Fred has continuously brought up, right? It maybe he doesn't mention K-State because he's obviously still there, but like when he talks about the way he talks about Derek Walker and the way he just continuously like brings up how Sam Griesel and Derek Walker, like what they meant to this program, I think maybe like when like from the 10,000 foot view, like maybe 5 years from now, I think we'll maybe point more at those two guys and just the way they kind of set the tone in the locker room a little bit more than we do talk about K-State. Because I think K-State has the on-the-court stuff, but I think the way that business was being handled behind closed doors with those two guys specifically and why they keep getting brought up by their head coach is going to be a little bit more definitive of how this program got turned around.
No, and I don't disagree with that, but I mean, you still got to win the games.
Sure.
And you still got to, you know, and I think he was a part of that. And ultimately, the point I was going to make was he hasn't been the reason for their success this year, which I think if you would have told me,
is also the reason I said what I just said.
If you would have told me in October, like, hey, they're going to make the NCAA tournament, and K-State, afterthought is way too strong, but that he will have games where he is kind of forgotten about or
at times the fourth most important part.
Where he's not going to drive things on a nightly basis, I would have said, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. How did it happen? And I think that what you said a few minutes ago about the players being the story, I think that's a very good observation with this team in particular, because on a night in, night out basis, you know, different guys have shown up. And K-State has had his moments. I don't think he's had them as consistently as I thought he could or would have them.
Yeah, some places had him labeled as the best shooter in the country before the season.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes he takes shots and you just are like, you know, rubbing your head. And you're like, what the hell was that?
That's just kind of like what you get with him, though.
That's
right?
What he is. Yeah.
Is he beats to his own drum and shooters are going to shoot. And I think Baylor has a little more success with it, but I think Baylor Shireman's got a little bit of that to him too, where if he's just feeling it, whether he's 1 of 13 or 10 of 11, you know, he's just going to shoot it.
So they're going to do.
If he's in the rhythm. And I think both of their head coaches would tell you that they feel more comfortable with them being that way.
So let me ask you this then. How does this month change the conversation? Because going back to Creighton for just a moment before we get to Nebraska, just said it, that this is, in my opinion, and I'm guessing that a lot of Creighton fans agree with this, and I'm guessing you do, I guess I'll ask you, is... Sure. Do you think that this is a more memorable stretch of basketball than the Doug McDermott stretch was? It is, again, it's more accomplished 100%.
No, and it has nothing to do with the players, the coaches, or anything. I think the fact that the Doug McDermott stretch involved the jump to the Big East,
yeah.
I think that will always, unless Creighton wins a national championship.
So I was going to say, what if this group makes the Final Four? Like, yeah. That's where, you know, they're already the most accomplished, and if they are able to go on that type of run, not only do they add to their accomplishments, but then suddenly it's like, look, a run to the Final Four, to that last Saturday of the season. Who cares if you make the title game? Not saying that they won't, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
let's just say they get to the Final Four.
Yeah.
You are one of four teams left. There are two games left in the whole season, and you get to be a part of that. You are playing in a giant football stadium this year in, what, Arizona?
Arizona, yeah.
Like, that is as memorable as you get. That gets a special banner that is hung in the arena.
That's not
and
there
like,
yet. Yeah.
That group back in 2014, the culmination, the end of that era, like, I still think that is more memorable than anything that this group has done, even though they never made it to the Sweet 16, let alone the Elite Eight. But a Final Four trip, that is a whole different ball of wax.
Man, yeah, I still don't know, because it's not like they just joined the Big East, right? They joined the Big East and were holding their own. And they had the National Player of the Year at the time.
They had the best player in the sport.
And they did it from jumping from a mid-major to, at that time, probably the third or fourth best conference of basketball, and seemingly didn't miss a beat. That's the most impressive thing to me, and I think that's why it'll be remembered, because it's one of those things that, not to make everything about football, but like when we look at the transition to the Big Ten, it's not loved because the success wasn't there.
Yeah, 100%. If they're better, then people are like, this conference rocks.
Yeah, we're the best in America.
Yeah.
But it's when you look at the way Creighton has really handled their own and now really kind of a staple top two, three program, one, two, or three, debatably, is, I think it's looked at so fondly. And you don't get there without that 2014 team. So it's like, I think that will always have a more nostalgic place in people's hearts, because
that's a good way to put it.
You don't really have the success now without them, right?
Because they laid the tracks.
Yeah, you just you can't have one without the other.
I mean, literally. If you want to go back again to the Big East thing, they literally laid those tracks, where without them, it isn't possible.
Yeah,
and they allowed that to be possible. All right. I mean, the next one is very easy, but let's get Nebraska fans, excited. What if they finally win a game, what if they
this
what if
year
able
looked
to
at more favorably by everybody?
This is, of course, this becomes not only the most accomplished, but easily the most memorable. And I think that what makes it so different is that, going back to the player side of things, and this is, of course, not knowing who's going to
be back next year.
No, who's going to take them on this magic carpet ride? Like, if they are to win a game or two. It's funny. We just talked about
how
K-State.
Incredible it would be if they won two games this season. I don't think it's. I'm not saying that tongue in cheek.
It's
I don't think it's realistic.
I'm not going to predict it, but
yeah.
I think it's certainly possible. You want to talk about. I speaking of Dirk, I asked him this question, and I'll ask it to you. What was more surprising in right now in this moment that Fred and Nebraska started out as poor as they did to begin his tenure?
Yeah.
Or that he was able somehow to turn and steer into the positive direction. What shocks you more?
It's the turnaround, without a doubt, because you had your AD 2 years ago talking about keeping a football coach around because of how often that this doesn't happen. Almost never is the word Trev Alberts referred to when he brought Scott Frost back for another year. And a lot of people looked at that and said, well, what does that mean for Fred? Because clearly they're on pretty close to the same trajectory. And maybe Fred gets a little bit of a pass because of the Abdel Massey stuff and the way they were trying to build it, and then the ability to pivot and show progress from a standpoint of, we're trying, not even on the court, but we're trying to do this differently. And building.
COVID, his first year ended the COVID year. His second year then is COVID entirely.
Yeah. And maybe not even that, but like the fact that you don't have the stubbornness of, it's going to be my way or no way, and we have to stick to the plan, but the ability to come in and adapt and change things and be willing to say, okay, maybe this can be done differently with the same kind of flavoring on top of it and still be successful and turn around. And the fact that they were able to is incredible.
Mustache Adam tweets in on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed. He says, I agree with you that the 2014 team is the most memorable, but the biggest what if is that 2020 team that won the regular season. That team seemed destined for a run in the Big East tourney and the college basketball playoff. They did. The funny thing is there's the Zagorowski injury that, now it's...
So you never get that question answered.
You never have to worry about it, the season. Because that was also in that weird stretch where every year a player would get hurt. Yeah. And you remember that?
For almost like 10 years.
Yeah. and you know, I think the best example of that, that's the best example. Because you want to talk about a what-if season.
To me, that was the best Creighton team of all
time.
They
were ridiculous. They could shoot it, and they, you know, could do incredible stuff on the inside. Patton came out of nowhere that season, and they're just, they looked like a different type of Creighton team. And that was like the first, in my opinion, that was the first time where it was like, okay, they have been able to figure out how to level up into this, into the Big East Conference. Whereas the first one was, you know, right place, right time. You have the best player in the sport, and you have
just
all
the coach
of these
sleeping with his mom, but, you know.
You have all of these seniors that are on this roster. The 2016-17 team was the first time where I was like, oh, okay.
Because they were able to get a guy that was two guys that were transfers in. You have the Justin Patton equation.
And that was an incredible developmental story where this guy comes out of Omaha. He redshirts, which who redshirts in basketball and then's good? Like nobody to that level. And then he is awesome right away. It's I mean, it's been a real, real, real fun, fun stretch of hoops for both of these teams. And it's funny because as memorable as these regular seasons have been, like, the story is either going, I mean, we've just talked about it from the positive perspective, and obviously, I know that we could do it from the other side, and well, what if they lose right away? And, like, I don't want to have that conversation because I know what the, I know what happens.
And,
and
I think we can comfortably say, and surprising to say this about Nebraska basketball, but it kind of feels like the outlier, the thing that is less likely to happen.
I know.
Right?
I it's funny you say it because I feel the same way. I think that this is going to be the year that it happens. And I look, in the end, would I be surprised if they lost? Of course not. It's college basketball. Weird crap happens in March, but I really think that this is the year. I really think they're going to do it.
And an interesting case study will be like, let's say Fred gets this thing rolling for a couple of years, right?
That's the question for me is, can this be replicated?
Yeah, and I think it'll be an interesting case study to have a conversation with Nebraska basketball fans. Like, how irritated are you that you haven't been able to have this type of success long-term? Because, you know, you kind of don't know what you're missing out on because it's never been there long-term sustainable. And if he's able to get things rolling where you're a tournament team 2, 3, 4 years in a row, how much differently do we look at the program as a whole?
That's how you start winning games, is you just get back there.
Stack it.
Yep. You want, and this is such an obvious statement, but if you're in the playoffs or if you're in a tournament, you have more chances to win games just because you are there. And I mean, the obvious then follow-ups are, and you also get used to it, and it's not a surprise, and you're more readily prepared for something like that, especially if you're able to keep your roster together. So that's what's at stake. Not a whole lot, but just you know,
just
everything.
The future of the program.
Yeah,
no,
exactly. Just, you know, the hearts and minds of a lot of the fans around this fair state of Nebraska. All right, when we return, it is time for predictions. The records will thankfully not be included on the little thing that I said.
I just realized you're not running very well.
I don't know how many games I won last week. I think it might be like 2. I'm in a distant third. Thankfully, there's no bet this time.
Am I still in first?
Well, Nick is still in first.
You want some winning picks? Listen to the After Hours Lounge. Dan and I went 5-0 last night.
How is Dan going undefeated?
We're good. We know what we're talking
about. How is Dan good?
Wow. Tough look for you.
Look for Dan.
At picking games.
John Schreiner, 9-0 when picking soccer games, by the way.
What?
Yeah.
He's of soccer.
John Schreiner, the guy who previewed the Champions League final 2 weeks before the Champions League final?
He's also the man who had lunch with the La Liga guy.
No, the EPL guy.
EPL guy.
I thought he also called stuff for La Liga.
But he's like the English Premier League guy, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, have you talked to him about that? How did it go?
He fanboyed.
Did he tweet a picture of it?
Yeah, they got lunch together. And
okay.
I believe Ian was the one taking the photo also.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
I'll have to go look at that.
Just reached out to him on Twitter, and the guy's like,
he's like, hey, you want
to
have coffee? And Ian Dark said, oi!
Probably shouldn't say this live on the air, but that's how I got Adrian Martinez, my co-host.
There you go. Just start.
For coffee.
The answer's always no, unless you don't slide into their DMs.
Just got to tweet at him. Are you down?
Yeah. I try, and sometimes it works.
Sometimes it works. All right, that and more as we roll
on.
That's how we got John Walker. Next on 1620 The Zone.
Nick Grimm for Circa Sports Iowa. You know, at the end of the month, Josh, Happer, myself, and maybe even you will be at the beautiful Circa Resort in Las Vegas to watch the dance and opening day. If you don't make it there with us, no worries at all. With the Circa Sports Iowa app, it's like being in Vegas. It's having Vegas in the palm of your hand. It's the next best thing. You can place bets anywhere in the state of Iowa, whether it's on the college tournament or professional baseball or professional basketball, you name it. And now is the perfect time to get in on the app too, because they don't limit you for constant winning. And obviously, both of these sports that I've mentioned have a lot of games coming up very close together. And if you're on a heater, you don't want to mess up that streak, and they don't want to mess up your streak. They also offer tight money line splits, and they don't keep as much on large market bets as other places do. So if you're worried about messing anything, or if you're worried that anything is going to go wrong, don't, because their customer service is great. Real people who want to help you with anything real quick. No bots, no AI. Check out the Circus Sports Iowa app today, anywhere in the state of Iowa. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-238-7633.